Thank God. Well, we've been talking about being ambassadors for Christ, and I think we're going to finish that today. So why don't we turn to Ephesians 4. We'll start there. Ephesians 4. And why don't we start in verse 7. Ephesians 4, verse 7. It says, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." So we've said, you know, back in 2 Corinthians, we've read it several times now, how we are ambassadors for Christ. Each one of us is an ambassador for God Almighty here. And with that, he didn't just leave us empty or just leave us on our own. He gave us gifts. We have natural gifts, but we have spiritual gifts, spiritual endowments that we are equipped to stand in whatever role he's asked us to stand in. He's given us gifts, like he says here in verse 7, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Jesus had it all. We don't have it all, but all of us working together have it all. What we have, everything we need to operate in what God has called us to do, both individually and as a body and in a local, you know, body in the church. It says that verse 8, "Therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." Verse 9, "Now this he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave himself some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man or mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So he's saying, now specifically in here, while he's saying he's given gifts, he talks about some of the gifts that are specifically ministry gifts. And as we read over there in Romans, there's all types of gifts. It says if the gift is ministry, minister. He said if it's to give, then give. You know, whatever the gift is, we stand in that and we flow with that. But what he's talking about here is gifts that are called to minister to all of us and to basically help us and equip us further in the call that God has given us. You know, all of us can receive from these gifts that have been put in the church. There's pastors, there's apostles, there's teachers, prophets, evangelists. You know, we had Chris Palmer come. He's a different type of gift. And, you know, Brother Hagin was a different type of gift. And if we'll just draw from the gifts God has put in the body of Christ, then we'll be, all of us, because every one of us, you know, partakes of this different type of gifts. He's just happened to talk about ministry gifts right now. If we'll just draw from the gifts that are in the body of Christ, then we'll be able to do what we're called to do. And there is no, like he gets into, there's not any gifts that are higher than any others. It's all that, all the gifts have been given to build all of us up to do what we're called to do. And so we don't put one up above others, or we don't put one lower. You know, if you're called to do something, God has asked you to do something, then who is anybody on earth to judge what God has called you to do or say, well, that's not important? God Almighty called this person to do something. The only one to judge is God. God asked us each to do something. And what we get caught up, and I'm going to talk about this, what we get messed up so many times is when we start looking at other people or what they're doing, and it's so easy to compare. It's so easy to get sidetracked. The devil likes to cause division. He tries to make us look at something else or somebody else or say, well, you know, what are they doing? Maybe I should do it like that, or I'm nobody, or, you know, whatever he thinks will work, he'll use to try to cause division, basically to get us sidetracked, basically to make us think that our job is not important somehow, or that somebody else's job is more important, or somebody else is getting more attention, or, you know, whatever, just anything to get you out of the game. He doesn't really care so much about you as long as you're not playing. He can get you sidetracked. Whatever it takes to get you sidetracked, get you out of the game, whatever you'll buy, he'll sideline you. And so that's what he tries to do to all of us. But right here, he's talking about that he gave gifts that were specifically to build us up, all of us, so that we can do the work of the ministry. Notice what we're doing right here is not necessarily, this isn't all the only ministry. You know, you don't just get involved in church and then that's your ministry. Your ministry is whatever encompasses everything that God has called you to do in life. You know, today's Mother's Day. And we've talked about it before. That's a ministry. If you're a mother, that's a ministry. That's part of what you're called to do. Being a father is a ministry. Being a spouse is a ministry. Our job descriptions are not all the same. We all have roles that we're in. And we all have different things. And so we just focus on what God has given us to do, on the job description He's given us, what we have going on in our life, and we get the strength from Him, we have the equipment from Him, we don't despise any part of it, we just look to Him and go on and go forth. We'll do what we're called to do. And so He's saying that some of these gifts that God's put in the church is to help us do those better. So one of the reasons we come to church is to draw from fellow believers. It's also that when we're partaking of the word here, that God is doing something different than He does in our personal life. He's equipping us to go out and be who we're called to be. When we come together at church, we are being equipped to do what God has called us to do. We're being equipped to be better ambassadors. So He says in verse 12 or verse 11, and He gave Himself some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. And let's just stop there for a second. See, in verse 14, he's saying just what we are talking about, that the devil goes about, see, he tries to knock us around. There's weird doctrines that come around. There's things that people are saying. The devil tries to get however he can into your life and try to make you go off on tangents. And what he's saying here is part of the reason that we have certain gifts in the body of Christ is so that we won't be tossed to and fro by all that stuff. That we won't go over here and get sidetracked or go over here and get sidetracked. That we'll be stable, strong, content in what God has called us to do. Not looking to the left or the right, but going straight forward and doing what we're called to do. As we grow up. It says in verse 14, we're all doing that as we go through life. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Who is the head? Jesus is the head of the church. That's not a man. It's not any group of men. Jesus is the chief shepherd. And we all look to Him. Jesus is shepherding each one of us. Right now, see, the way God's kingdom works, Jesus is the chief shepherd. He knows your life way, 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 way better than I do. Better than you do. He knows everything about you. And so He's the shepherd. If you look, you know, think about a normal shepherd. I don't know much about shepherding. I just know, you know, what I've seen on TV and in books. But, you know, shepherd taking care of the sheep. His responsibility is to make sure these sheep are fed and do what they, you know, are healthy and everything. And actually the word shepherd that is used over and over is, it means to feed. So Jesus is our chief shepherd. He's going to make sure we're nourished. He's going to make sure we're built up. He's going to make sure we're doing what we're called to do. And so then there's gifts, that, like He just mentioned, that are put in the body of Christ. Like a pastor, the pastor means to feed. Now, is it me feeding? No, it's Jesus. And so what if I'm doing what I'm supposed to do right, then all I'm doing is hooking up with the Holy Spirit. He's speaking directly to your heart and bringing what you need, what you're getting from Him, from God Almighty, directly to your heart, and it is just something He's put in the body of Christ so that you're built up so you can go out of these doors and do what you're called to do. That's what God Almighty has He's put that in the church. So He said that we're all, verse 15, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head. And Jesus is the head. We're looking to Him. We're all going to be accountable to Him, not to our neighbor. You know, unless you've lived in the same place for a really long time, you probably aren't even in contact with the neighbors you had 10 years ago. even if they were dear friends. And if you've moved out of state, a lot of times even friends we had, they were close to, you only have time for so many people in your life, and those drop off. You know, sometimes the people that we think that are so, you know, we can feel pressure with the people around us or to do something or to say something or do something different. You look 10 years down the line or 5 years, even a year, and suddenly your life's completely changed and it's not that important anymore. So we never want to please men, any man. We want to make sure we're pleasing him and getting our direction and doing what we're supposed to do from him and stay true to the call that God has put on each of our lives. And if we do that, someday we're going to stand before him and give an account for what we've done for him. And it's not going to be that we say, well, yeah, but this person was saying such and such, or this person was there, I couldn't. Doesn't matter. We're called to have a relationship with him, to follow him, to be faithful to him. So he said, but speaking, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. See, notice that. From the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. See, we're going to be fruitful and we're going to be complete when every joint, every person is supplying what they're called to do. There's no superstars. It's just what God has called each of us to do. Then we'll be fully nourished, we'll be what we're supposed to be. He says, from the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So he's saying the whole body will be joined, will be built up because every joint is doing its supplying. Every person, every part is doing its share. And as we do that, as we honor what God has called us to do, be faithful to it, then the whole body is built up and the whole body does what it needs to do. It's not one person, you know, like we talked over in 2 Corinthians. Let's just turn back there real quick. We won't read the whole thing, but 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20. Yeah, it's 1 Corinthians 12, verse 20. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 20. So he's talking about the body, and he says, but now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And then he goes on to talk some similar things about some of the gifts that are being pointed. But he's saying, you know, you can't say to somebody else in the body, well, we don't need you. We don't need the likes of you. You're not, you know, I don't, that type of personality, who needs them? Well, if you've been around any long, just for any length of time, just in the natural, you realize that in any group of people, there are just even naturally speaking, there are abilities that you need to make a team run. Well, there's people that are very detailed, will take care of all the details, that if you didn't have those people, you know, half the stuff wouldn't work because there wouldn't be details. But then you have people that can see the whole picture and go, and if you had the people that are detailed running that area, they would never get out of the details. They would never see where anything was going. They wouldn't take any risks and whatever. So you need people that can see everything. You need people that are people, you know, people persons, and so on and so forth. You can see the need. But sometimes, you know, naturally speaking, we say, well, what good is that? It's just a trap of the devil. It's a trap of the devil to create division. Somehow you get offended at somebody. Why do we really need that? What is the point over there? We really need this type of person. That person gets on my nerves. So on. Just beware I know we all know this, but, you know, it's just good to remind ourselves that the devil is trying to cause division. Any thought against other people, what we should really be concerned with is what we're doing, what God has called us to do, and any thought that says, you know, I'm better than that person, I have more going on that person, look, I'm called to do this, I would like that, or, boy, I'm nothing compared to this person. I don't know. I mean, I could never in a million years do what that person's doing. What I'm doing, it's nothing. Either way, it's pride. Either way, and it's the devil. The devil gets you in pride thinking you're better than anybody else. It gets you in pride thinking you're lower than anybody else. Either way, it's pride. Because what we should be doing is saying what God that if God's called me to do it, it's needed, it's necessary, and I'm important. I'm not more important, but I'm not less important. And I am accountable to God, and I'm going to look to Him, and what He says about me, that's what I'm going to believe. And I don't care what you say about me. This is what the attitude. I mean, we don't do it in, bitterness or anything. Well, I don't care what you say. No, but really, we need to be more concerned with what Jesus Christ says about us and the person next to us, more concerned with what He says we're called to do than the person next to us. And if we'll just do that, almost have tunnel vision, just look into Him, and going on with what He's called us to do, then we can let the person next to us freely walk in what they're called to do. We won't get jealous. We won't get envious. We won't think we're better than them because we know that everything we're doing is by what God has called us to do, and so we're going to stick with that. We won't be offended. We'll be able to walk together, and things will just work. But the devil will go about trying to divide us. He always does. That's his MO. That's his mode of operation. He's that way. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 10. In 2 Corinthians 10:12, he says, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." See, he's saying it's not wise to compare yourself with the people next to you. It's not wise to measure yourself against, in this group. You could say, well, I'm better than so-and-so, or I got more going on than so-and-so, or whatever, in any group. Because again, it's Jesus who has called us. And Paul says, you know, these people are talking, you know, they're just talking all kinds of nonsense against each other. And Paul's saying, look, the people that are commending themselves, you know, measuring themselves against each other, they're not wise. And neither are we. If we can just be content in what God has called us to do, if we can be content in what He's called us to do and just do it with all our heart, then we'll be content. We won't have to look to the right or to the left. We won't get up in envy or jealousy or anything like that. We'll look to Him. We'll walk with Him, with Jesus, and we won't look to the right or the left, and we won't have to be concerned with whether, you know, somebody else is doing. We'll just be concerned with what He's put in our heart to do. Thank God. Let's turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6, verse 9 says, "But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you, yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this matter. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." So he says in verse 10, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown towards His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." God's not unjust. See, God doesn't forget. God knows what you're doing. God knows what you're doing and all of us are doing when nobody else is looking. He knows if we're being, realize nobody else knows whether you're being faithful to the call that God's put on your life. Because nobody else knows what that is, but you do. You know, and if we don't have it clear, then we just get with God. But if we know God has told us to do something and we decide not to do, God knows that, but He knows when we're being faithful in the little things when nobody sees it. Nobody sees what we're doing, but we say, God, You've called me to do this. I know You want me to be this person. And no matter what anybody says, I'm not going to look to the right or the left. I'm going to follow Your call. He knows that. That's comforting, that sometimes you're doing something that's hard, or you're just tired of going on in a certain direction, but God is faithful to His Word. God is faithful to, He hasn't called you to be somebody else. He's called you to be what He's called you to be, and He knows if you're faithful. That's comforting to me. Well, you know, when you think, sometimes there's things that are hard, and you say, but God sees it. The King sees it. I mean, some people, you know, talk about being men pleasers. You know, somebody, if the boss comes around, we're all tempted to, you know, do a better job. We're not supposed to be like that, but that's a temptation. Well, you realize the boss of the boss of the boss's boss, the top boss, is always watching us. He always knows what's going on. And so He knows if we're following His directions or not, and He's faithful. And why don't you hold your finger in Hebrews. We're going to go over to one more scripture and come back to Hebrews quick, then we're going to wrap up. Galatians 6:9. Galatians 6:9 said, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." If we don't lose heart. It says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." If we'll just stay focused on what He's called us to do. If we'll stay focused on our part of the body. If we'll not look to the left or the right, and stay focused on Him, then in due season we will reap. Sometimes it doesn't look like anything's changing, but it is, if we're being faithful to what God has called us. All right, why don't you turn to Hebrews 12:1, and we're gonna close here. Hebrews 12:1. It says, "Therefore we also," now He's just got done talking about all these great men and women of faith, all these things that were done by faith, by believing that what God told them, by believing what God told them to do, and regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what it looked like, they walked by faith. They walked by what they could not see in God. They did what God had called them to do. And so in verse 1 of chapter 12, He says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," all these people that have gone before us, all these people that have already run their race, He said, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." That's an encouraging scripture. If there's ever a case that we're in what we believe we're supposed to be doing, but it's sometimes hard. If it's hard, we can look and say, look, there's many people that have gone before me. There's many people that have gone before me and walked this life of faith and taken their place. And He says, so, at the end of verse 12, "let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him," because of the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross for us. So even if certain things we say, well, I don't really necessarily like this area, I don't really like this, I wish I was called to something else. Jesus didn't like everything about the cross, but because of the joy that was set before Him, He walked and He did what He was called to do. And so He despised the shame. He despised the hard times. He despised when His flesh wanted to recoil and not do it. He despised it because He saw the joy that was set before us, before Him. He looked at us down through time and He said, "They're worth it. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to put up with all this because, Father God, You've told me to do this." And so in that garden, when He was sweating drops of blood, He still went forward and said, "I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this because if there's any other way, take this cup from me, but if there's no way, I'm going to do it." And so He despised the shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And now we are his body and we are on this earth and we have a place. Don't ever let the devil tell you you don't have a place. Don't ever let the devil tell you that you don't have something significant. Just walk with God. And I looked this up one time, you know, in this area where Hebrews 12 is, and it says this. That word looking means this. It means away. It's from away from and to see. And it says the word signifies undivided attention, looking away from all distractions in order to fix one's gaze on one object. It says in here, in this scripture, it's having eyes for no one but Jesus. If we can walk that way, if we can look not to the right, what our neighbor's doing, or to the left, or what something else is going on, but we fix our eyes on Jesus, and we have no eyes for anyone but Jesus, and we look to him, and we go straight on with him, and we walk in what he's called us to do, then one day we'll go to heaven, stand before him, and all that day, when we stand before the Almighty King of Kings, and he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant, you did it. Praise God.